The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? No disciple is superior to the teacher, but when fully trained, every disciple will be like his teacher. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove that splinter in your eye," when you do not even notice the wooden beam in your own eye? You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your eye first, then you will see clearly to remove the splinter in your brother's eye. A good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For people do not pick figs from thorn bushes, nor do they gather grapes from brambles. A good person, out of the store of goodness in his heart, produces good. But an evil person, out of a store of evil, produces evil. For from the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Gospel of the Lord. Every now and again, I run into people who love to live their faith based on what I like to refer to as popular Bible cliches or popular gospel cliches. And we hear one in today's gospel, but I'll get to that a little later. Let's look at a couple of the other ones that I've heard. For example, many people reduce everything that's in the scriptures to a simple concept. And I've heard this often. They say, all the Bible really teaches you to do is love. That's all you need to know is love. All you need is love. Which I like to remind people that that is the gospel of John, Paul, George, and Ringo. Not the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But think about it for a second. You have a book that's about this thick, maybe even thicker. And all you need to do is just rip out one page. I'm not going to rip out the page. And then rip it, the pages up to little shreds until you come to one four-letter word. That's all you need to know from the entire Bible. You think about that, you start thinking to yourself, let's get real here. There's a lot more in the scriptures than that. But even in the subject of love, when Jesus says so, live on in my love, he throws in the catch that we oftentimes overlook. You live in my love if you do what I command you. There's a catch, a proviso, and a pretty big one at that with regard to Christ's teaching on love. Another one that I often hear is the Bible tells us don't judge. And we heard a gospel like that just a couple weeks ago where he says, judge not and you shall not be judged. If I had a nickel for how often I hear people in confession telling me that they're judgmental or they want to confess to how they're judging. And the first question I ask them is, well, who have you of your own authority and volition condemned to hell? And they're a little perplexed, and they said, what? And I said, well, who have you condemned to hell? And they say, well, no one. And then I say, well, then you're not guilty of being judgmental. Because in the gospel, again, we take just that one word, but we take it out of context, and Jesus says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. It's the judgment of condemnation that Jesus tells us to avoid, not just simply forbidding us to ever be disapproving or critical of anything ever. And that's usually the context. You know, you maybe have a coworker who comes to staff meetings a little late and everyone's checking their watch waiting for he or she to show up. And they show up and then finally they can begin. And you take them aside and you tell them, you know, you really should be on time for our meetings. Whereupon they say, you have no right to judge me. Suddenly, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. And they run to confession, confessing that they were judgmental. That's not what Christ obviously is talking about. But we are called to look out for one another, to call people back in personal ways, which brings to another favorite cliche, which kind of builds upon what we hear in today's gospel, is he who is without sin cast the first stone. Again, taking it out of context, we all know the story of that, and I'm not going to get into that. That's not the gospel story we hear today. But many see it as a absolute prohibition of ever being critical of anyone ever for anything, when Jesus actually gives a prescription for doing just that, not being critical, not being busybodies. But in the Gospel of Matthew, he says, if your brother or sister sins, tell them. How many here are willing and eager to do that? In this day and age, when everything's labeled as judgmental. But believe it or not, it's an act of charity. If you're familiar with the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, the third spiritual work of mercy is admonish the sinner, call the sinner back. But of course, there's a catch to that as well. It doesn't mean Jesus wants us to be a bunch of busybodies. He says, if your brother or sister sins, point it out to them. He doesn't say, if the stranger on the street gives offense, point it out to them. It's implied that there's a relationship of community, either family, parish, group of friends, and so on, in calling one another back, being open to that correction ourselves, which could perhaps be much harder than simply pointing out someone else's faults, which brings us to the gospel today. Another popular cliche is, don't point out the speck in someone else's eye without noticing the plank in your own. It gives a perspective there. And often people leave it at that. I'll notice the plank in my own eye rather than the speck in someone else's, or we'll say it to someone else. Don't notice the speck in my eye, notice the plank in yours. You're still pointing out that they have a plank, but so it's kind of giving a little of what you get. But what does Jesus say when he goes on? He says, remove the wooden beam from your eye first, then you will see clearly to remove the splinter in your brother's eye. In other words, you're still doing the removing. You're just keeping it a particular perspective, being aware of our own faults and failings, while at the same time, and perhaps first, before, we look out for the well-being, the spiritual well-being of others. In other words, he doesn't want us to be busybodies, always pointing out other people's faults, but to be very much aware of where we are coming from as well, and that we are a community of faith. We are in this together. Last week, Jesus said, the measure with which you measure will be measured back to you. And if our approach to everything is, well, just leave them in their sinfulness. I'm not going to get involved. It's none of my business. I'm not going to be judgmental. Let them wallow in that sinfulness. I'm just not going to be involved. Well, if that's the measure that's going to be measured back to us by God, he's not going to get involved. He's going to leave us in our sinfulness. He's not going to use his graces to guide us back. Then pretty much we're all doomed. But that we're all called together to look out for one another. We are a Christian community here. Again, it doesn't mean we're a bunch of busybodies. It doesn't mean we're pointing out the faults of every stranger on the street. But we are aware of our own shortcomings, realizing we're not perfect, and keeping a perspective with regard to our own shortcomings first as opposed to others, the plank as opposed to the speck or the splinter. But in this particular case, I often put myself in it, and I'm thinking, okay, someone has removed the plank in their own eye. They want to remove the speck in mine. How would I respond? Well, perhaps how anyone would respond. I probably would be a little resistant. Who are you to point out a speck in my eye? Until I remember that person just removed a plank from their own eye, which means they're holding a plank in their hands. And if I give any resistance, they might whale me over the head with the plank that they just removed from their own eye. Granted, that's okay. Maybe I'm letting my imagination run a little far. But he is saying, you've removed the plank. Now you've got something in your hand as you're gently trying to remove the speck from someone else. And if they resist or call you names or get judgmental of you, let me remove that speck now. It's interesting the images that Jesus gives us and the solutions, the metaphors. But it's also important to notice the substance and the teaching behind them. And ultimately, yes, we remove the specks from each other's eye. But also, let's be aware of what's in our own eye. Let's look out for one another. But let's not be a bunch of mindless busybodies, always pointing out the faults of other people. All things in moderation, but keeping in mind that we are all called to turn away from sin. And it's easy to hide behind various cliches or various sundry understandings, minimalist understandings of the Scripture. And it's something to keep in mind as this week we begin the season of Lent with Ash Wednesday. And the season of Lent is always an interesting time for Catholics because it is a time of discipline. It is a time of penance. We engage in practices, both individually and collectively, as a people of faith. We give something up, hopefully something with a little meat on it, no pun intended, but something of substance that might be difficult, that might invite temptation. And when we are tempted to take back what we've given up, we turn to God in prayer. But we also do things as a community of faith to remind us we're not in this alone. And we have observances that we do as a church, such as the days of fasting, the meatless Fridays. It's not that we can't eat meat. Heck, you can do whatever you want. But it's that, as Catholics, we don't eat meat on Friday. It's an observance that we engage in together as a sacrifice, as somewhat. And I always like to say, you know, meatless Fridays is not really a sacrifice. Fish sticks is a sacrifice. All right? And I was raised on those. And how you observe that is up to you. But the meatless Fridays and the days of fasting are also observances, things that we do together as church. One may as well say, well, you know, I don't see any point in eating turkey on Thanksgiving. Or I don't really see the point of shooting fireworks on the 4th of July. But these aren't things we do because we have to. We wish to. We like to do that. It's something that binds us together on those days as a nation and as a family. And as a people of faith, during the season of Lent, we engage in disciplines to help strengthen us spiritually and turn to God during times of temptation, which we invite, temptation that we invite with what we give up for the season of Lent. But as a community of faith, knowing that we're in this together, we're not alone, we do certain things together. And so as we come on these days before the season of Lent, hopefully we've really given some thought and some prayer and some discernment to how we're going to observe it. Not one thing or another, but all of the above. How we're going to grow in prayer, what we're going to give up in fasting, how we're going to engage in almsgiving during the season of Lent, how we're going to teach our children these practices so that it becomes a part of their own practice as they get older. And it's a time and perhaps in which we do look out for each other. What are you giving up? How are you doing with your particular sacrifice? Do you remember these days of fasting and abstinence? It's an example of the speck in the eye, although we're not pointing out a fault, but we're encouraging one another to engage substantially and honestly in these practices during the season of Lent as we prepare for the great celebration of Easter, which takes 50 days to celebrate and 40 plus days to prepare. So as we hear the gospel today, which reminds us, we are in this together. We are now about to enter into together, and let us remember that, this season of Lent, a time of discipline, a time of penance, a time of exercise spiritually. And as we hear this gospel of taking the plank out of our own eye, removing the speck from our brother and sister's eye, let us enter into the season of Lent with that spirit. What are we going to do? How are we going to observe in the traditional ways the church prescribes? Enter into it fully and truly and substantially as individuals, as we discern and engage in those practices of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And what we do as a community of faith together, remembering we're not in this alone. We are a pilgrim church walking together during this time, during our sojourn here on earth in this entire life, and especially in the more concentrated moments of the year as we enter into the holy season of Lent. We're not alone during that journey. We're in this together. And let us look out for one another. Let us encourage one another so that starting this Ash Wednesday, we can enter into what won't be just another season of Lent, but it'll be truly a time of meaning and substantial growth in our relationship with God and our connection and relationship with one another as church.